Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. On a bright sunny day in August 1945, the sirens sounded in the Japanese city of Hiroshima during the Second World War. Out of habit, the people scurried for safety. But only a lone B-29 came over, 19,000 feet up. Thinking it was just a reconnaissance plane, the Japanese rang the all clear. Few persons saw the tiny speck that suddenly appeared in the sky under the plane. But in a few seconds, that speck exploded with a sound that, figuratively, was heard round the world. The first atomic bomb had been dropped, killing 78,000 persons, seriously injuring thousands more. Now the Soviet Union boasts of a super bomb which is 5,000 times more powerful than the one which leveled Hiroshima, yet so compact it can fit into a rocket. According to the Soviet newspaper Red Star, no super-deep shelter will afford protection from an all-shattering blow from this weapon. Well, that there is coming a day of devastating destruction for this earth is confirmed by the Word of God. The Apostle Peter writes concerning men who scoff at the idea of the return of Christ, who say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" And Peter goes on to say, "As the world once overflowed with water and perished, so the heavens and the earth are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Peter cites the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah as examples unto those who should afterward live ungodly, and it certainly should cause every sincere thinking person to awaken to the truth of God's word that sin must be punished, that God does not overlook the immorality sweeping our land, evidenced in illicit relationships, unbridled lust, perverted passions, that unless we repent, we too shall perish. The apostle goes on to say, "The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." My friends, were it not for the mercy of God, we would have been consumed in His wrath long ago. But our God is of great compassion, pleading with men to turn from their idols of pleasure and sins of fornication and adultery, lest they be destroyed as were the people in Lot's day and Noah's day. Peter then goes on to describe further this coming Holocaust that one day will suddenly strike the world, declaring, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Beloved, there's nothing permanent about this earth in which we live. Our fine buildings will one day lay in ashes, our homes and factories destroyed, as W. Burnett Easton, Jr. asserts. According to the New Testament, and according to the facts of history, there is nothing in the Christian religion which guarantees the permanence of any civilization. Rather, according to the New Testament, not only are all civilizations under the judgment of doom, but the world itself must come to an end. Jesus most assuredly informed His disciples, "Heaven and earth shall pass away," adding, however, "My words shall not pass away." And that is what Peter refers to when he speaks of the day of the Lord, how it will come quite suddenly and unexpectedly, how that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I have in my possession an autographed copy of the book, The Atomic Bomb and the Word of God, by the noted author Dr. Wilbur Smith. And although Dr. Smith does not believe this passage in Peter's epistle is a prediction of the atomic bomb, yet he asserts the principle of destruction is exactly the same as that used in the atomic bomb. Now note, if you will, that Peter asserts the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Uranium, plutonium, hydrogen, which are used in the making of nuclear weapons, are elements. You can be sure that Peter, a poor, uneducated fisherman, did not reason this out in himself. Rather, my friends, the Spirit of God revealed to him the formula of Earth's future destruction. How men can go on in unbelief, doubting the Word of God, when we have such marvelous and amazing predictions, surely is beyond human comprehension. Beloved, the Bible is God's Word, and we should read it prayerfully and carefully to make sure of our salvation, to discover God's will for our lives and for our future. Again, look at what the Apostle says. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. This word melt is also a very interesting word. It is the Greek word luo, meaning to untie or unloose. You will remember how John the Baptist said he was not worthy to unloose the shoe latchets of Jesus. Well, it's the same word. And so you see how the Holy Spirit led Peter to write in words of scientific accuracy how that the elements shall melt with fervent heat, that is, they shall be unloosed. That is exactly what happens in the atomic explosion of a nuclear device. We unloose the forces of energy in a gigantic and violent display and outburst. We untie the greatest destructive force known to man. Would you notice then that the result of this dissolution of the elements is fervent heat? The Greek word is more perfectly translated scorching heat. When the first atomic bomb was tested at Alamogordo, New Mexico, a huge tower was erected using 10-inch railroad rails. When the test bomb exploded, the steel tower completely vaporized, and all that was left was a gaping hole of fused melted glass. We are told that an explosion of a 100-megaton bomb, such as the Soviets claimed to have, would produce an estimated fireball temperature of 18 million degrees Fahrenheit. No wonder it is claimed by the Russians that not even a super-deep shelter would provide protection from such a weapon. Beloved, again I call your attention to Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Here our Lord declares, "The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." From the Scriptures we have every reason to expect simultaneously the appearing of Christ for His own with that of a form of devastating destruction such as is evidenced in a nuclear explosion. Notice further the seeming futility of seeking protection in that day. As Jesus goes on to say, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Our Lord also reveals how vain it would be to seek to preserve one's property, saying, "In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away." In a time of fire or flood or similar catastrophe, it is humanly instinctive to want to grab that which is most valuable and take it to a place of safety. But Jesus says that won't be necessary. Finally, our Lord gives us what I believe is a further picture of the rapture when He comes for His saints. He says, "I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left." Ah, will you be taken or left behind to face the awful tribulation when Jesus comes? Well, friend listening today, the shadows of death-dealing destruction grow darker with startling disclosures of deadlier bombs and missiles. One news commentator says, for the first time since Civil War days, the American family is confronted with the definite possibility that the war may come to its own front door. And this time it would not be cavalrymen riding into town, but mass destruction released in one eradicating explosion. Now, there are some who believe God would not permit any nation to unleash so devastating a weapon as a nuclear bomb. We can only refer to such scriptures as already given, along with Psalms 110, verses 5 and 6, which says, "The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries." Ah, because of our sins, judgment is certain. One cannot help notice the review of films being shown in our theaters and the books being placed on our newsstands to see how far we have degenerated as a society. The only promise of escape from this coming judgment pictured in the Word of God is to the believer who knows Christ as Savior and Lord, who is found walking with God in a life of faith and purity and obedience. We do not know the day nor the hour when the Lord cometh, But it would seem that witnessing evidence of impending doom, that everyone today who is not living for Christ would certainly give solemn thought to his soul, where he will spend eternity. Some night unannounced for millions there will be no warning, no escape, as missiles and bombs might come raining down upon our cities. It would seem from the scriptures that only those who are ready for the coming of the Lord would escape such coming holocaust. As we read in 1 Thessalonians, at the coming of our blessed Lord, we are told that those who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ah, what a blessed day that will be for those who are ready. But our hearts go out today to those who are lost and perishing, who, unwilling to turn from their sin, continue on in their iniquitous practice, to one day face the awful judgment scene coming upon the world. Dr. Herbert Lockyer, in view of the discovery of destructive atomic weapons, asks, "Do you not think that the alarm must be sounded? Is it not time to warn this mad, blind, doomed world that the hours of grace are passing with alarming swiftness?" Suddenly, says Dr. Lockyer, destruction will overtake this unbelieving and deluded world unless it is aroused and made to repent for its sins. Ah, friends, that's how we feel today. We're not trying to scare or frighten anyone, but only to present the facts as they really are, and to reveal there is hope to all who will place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and live daily for Him. Indeed, His message to one and all, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.